I'm reading Daniel 9 and I'm reading the whole chapter. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favour of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear to our God, and here open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I'd seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the seven, he'll put an end to the sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. We'll be looking forward to Logan explaining all that.
Geez, no pressure. Well, thanks, Jen, for reading that. And why don't I start in prayer for us as we try to unpack God's word. Heavenly Father, you are a great and awesome God. We praise you, Father, for you are creator and you are Lord of all things. You are a God who is all-powerful and you are a God that is in control. Help your people here at Blakehurst today, Lord, to have open hearts to receive your word in the book of Daniel, that we may learn what it means to go the distance in faith in our relationship to you. Amen. Well, friends, we're going to be unpacking the book of Daniel chapter 9. We're going to be looking a lot at Daniel's prayer for the most part, and then we're going to unpack a little bit of the prophecy afterwards. But before we jump into the passage, I want to start our time by asking a bit of a question to you. Now, it's not this sort of call and response type of question. It's more of a question where we'll have a few seconds to think just in the quietness of our hearts about the answer we give. The question I want to ask you is this. I have a clicker. I forgot about this. I had a clicker. There we go. Beautiful. The question I want to ask you is this. What is it that helped you in your faith go the distance? Just have a think about that for a second. What do I mean by that? Well, what is it that you in your faith lean on and rely on as you seek to live out and run the race of faith in this life? Take 30 seconds now. I just want you to think quietly in your heart about what your instinctive answer might be. Take a few seconds for that. Well, I wonder what your answer might be. And maybe after morning tea, we can talk to each other about what your instinctive answer was. But hear me out for a second. I wonder how many of us had an answer that was self-reliant, that relied on you doing something, that relied on you being the one to push forward. I think a lot of people in our world today, when asked about what they rely on to get through life, have a self-dependent answer. Do we kind of agree with that? If you hear the word a lot today, it's relied upon ourselves. I don't know who knows this person. She's a bit too odd from my understanding, but she was a famous actor back in Hollywood's golden age, Rita Moreno. All right, no one knows who she is. Perfect, we're on the same level. But she was famous. She won like Best Supporting Actress for West Side Story once. She was very famous for that. But she said, when asked about what she relies on to keep going, she said, "My own stubbornness. I get up and keep moving because I am very stubborn." I find that a bit funny, to be honest. Because, friends, stubbornness or any action that is driven in self-dependence is not going to be enough to take us to the end. There is no action from ourselves that can help us to go the distance. Stepping forward and living out a faith driven purely in self-dependence will not get you the distance of a life lived in relationship with God. You cannot run the race of faith just by stubbornness alone. In fact, there is not enough self-dependence or self-reliance in the whole world for one person to get by. So if it's not stubbornness, if it's nothing we can do that's self-reliant that can help us to go the distance, that can run the race of faith, then what is it that we can rely on? Well, today, friends, we are going to look at how Scripture shows Daniel navigate going the distance in exile. We're going to look at where Daniel goes to find strength to keep going during his time, and how through understanding Daniel's exile, we can learn what it is that we can rely on, not to just take us 70 years, but to take us the whole distance of a life lived for the Lord. So we're going to look and reflect on how Daniel, through his prayers, through verses 1 to 19, relies on God, not by his own strength, but by trusting in the character of his God. So let's jump into that right now. Let's first understand where we are in chapter 9. We start with a new ruler announced in verse 1, which hopefully is big enough on there for you to see, but I'll read it as well out loud for us. It says, "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom." So we see here that there is a new man in charge of the kingdom, a new ruler. We don't know too much about King Darius in history, but we can understand from this that he had taken over the reins over Babylon. There is a change amongst the ruling people, but the situation for Daniel and his people hasn't changed. The situation remains the same. Daniel and his people are still in exile. That is a constant. Their time is still not over, being ruled by another kingdom. But let's not ignore for a second the situation that Daniel himself is in. See, Daniel is in quite an okay position in exile. Daniel was well off in his time in exile. He had been made a high official of the empire, as we start to see happen in Daniel 6. But even though he was well off, even though he was in a good position of authority, Daniel was still a Jewish man, and he was still a godly man, and he was still an Israelite. Daniel still sought the day when he and his fellow people would leave exile, would be rescued by God, and brought back to the holy hill that is Jerusalem. And I think if we understand Daniel with this mindset, someone who's in a position of authority but still a Jewish man seeking to be rescued by God, we understand the mindset he has to seek the scriptures. And we can read that on in verses 2 and 3. "In the first year of his reign," that being King Xerxes, "I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the law given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. And so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer." See, Daniel, in verse 2, reads from the prophet Jeremiah about the prophecy of the desolation of Jerusalem and the exile of the people. He understands that it would last 70 years. That is the takeaway Daniel has from the prophecy of Jeremiah, which we can read in Jeremiah 25, if you feel like doing that in your own time. But quickly, for our own sake, we can understand a little bit about the timeline of Daniel from this. We understand that he's seeking 70 years. Well, Daniel, when he leaves in exile, is in 605 BC, and sources would pretty much agree that he's about 15 or the age of a youth. And so I see Ben in my eyes already. So Ben, I just want you to stand up for me. This is a bit of crowd interaction. Yeah, unlucky, mate. You yelled out before. Ben, how old are you? 16. So he's about 15. Let's just assume Ben's 15. He's 1 year younger, right? That's what Daniel looked like when he left in exile. And so quickly, we're now shifting to chapter 9, where Daniel has gotten quite old. Now, I don't want to pick anyone, so is there any volunteer that wants to pretend that they're 70 for me? Yeah, thank you. Right. Just have a comparison there. That's quite a difference in age gap, right? There's a bit of difference there. There's a couple more gray hairs over this side, a bit of wisdom over there. Someone who has, you know, not got the frown lines that have yet to come with growing older. Thanks, guys. The age difference here is evident, right? We can all kind of see and go, yeah, there's a fair bit of time that's passed. A fair bit of time has passed. See, somewhere around the late 70s and early 80s is Daniel in this time. Almost 70 years has passed. Almost 70 years. There's still time to be run. The exile is not quite done yet. There's still a distance to go. So what does Daniel do after understanding that 70 years is what they're going to be in exile for, but they're still not there? Well, friends, Daniel goes and prays. We read in verse 3, he says, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer." And let's pause here for a second, because I think this is really powerful. This is our first example of what we can and need to rely on to go the distance, to continue going forward. This is the first example of what we can rely on to run the race of faith. just like our man Daniel. See, this is an example that has been constant in Daniel's book. If we look about Daniel as a person, we think about what we've learned about Daniel, he's prayerfully dependent on God. He doesn't stop praying when prayer is ruled out, that you can only go and pray to the king. Daniel continues to pray to God because Daniel is a prayerful man. And just like Daniel needs prayer, needs to be prayerfully dependent, we need to understand just how powerful prayerful dependence is in relying and going the distance. Friends, I wonder how quickly we forget how powerful being prayerfully dependent can be. I wonder how quickly we forget the power of prayer in sustaining us in our relationship with God, in helping us go the distance. How quickly do we forget the power a prayerfully dependent relationship with God can be? Because, friend, I think sometimes we see prayer not as an intimate relationship that builds dependence and builds trust. We see prayer like a spiritual Facebook status. We see prayer as something that I think God can see and God can kind of know what I'm up to, but it's not really intimate. There's not a dependence on coming to God and saying, hey, here's what's happening. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I need. Here's what I'm asking from you. I understand this is who you are. I think sometimes we see prayer as just sent, posted. I'll come back to it later. I'll see how many likes it got from God. Friends, that's not prayerful dependence. That's prayerful ignorance. That is an ignorant view of our relationship with God and what we need to rely on. That is a view of prayer that says, I can do it myself. I can rely on myself to go the distance. And God, you can have just the smallest understanding of what I'm doing. That's not the prayer that we can rely on to go the distance. We need prayer that is prayerful, dependent, that is trusting, that is loving, that is acknowledging God and who He is. Understanding that He is our Creator, that He already knows us, and that He wants to understand intimate relationship with us. So we understand from our first one, prayer is prayerful dependence, right? We need to rely on prayerful dependence because prayer is distance sustaining. We need to pray to our God in all circumstances to continue going the distance with Him, just like we are called to by Paul in the New Testament. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, you'll have a look at how Paul says we need to pray in all circumstances and to be rejoicing in that. So the good and bad, the hard and the easy, all times of this distance we're running, be prayerful and be dependent in your prayer on God. All right, so we know that Daniel prays, right? And we understand that we need to rely on prayer. That's our first point. But Daniel 9, what's in the prayer? Right? Because I think when we think about what's in the prayer, we can kind of go, he prays about some things and then he prays about other things. But do we think about what's deeply in the prayer? Because this, to me, I think is the most beautiful prayer in all of Scripture. Might be a bit biased on my end, but I've been reading it and I think, man, this is a powerful prayer. I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers in all Scripture. And we're going to break down this prayer because inside the prayer, Daniel shows some key things that we can rely on in our relationship with God to go the distance. So let's break down the prayer. The prayer looks like this. We start in verse 4. Daniel praises God. But he doesn't just praise God willy-nilly. No, he praises something particular. He praises God's character. He says in verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Great, awesome, keeper of His covenants. Daniel expresses and praises God's character, specific parts of who God says He is. This is important. This is a key pickup. Daniel praises the character of God and reminds himself of who God has said He is. He has said He is a keeper of His word, a keeper of the promises He makes, a keeper of His covenants. I don't know about you, but when I think of the word promise, when I think about the words of keeping a promise, I kind of think it's a bit weird these days. I think promises are hard for us to understand because we understand a broken promise more than a kept promise these days. Does that resonate with anyone? That we, more often than not, promises are broken to us. When I think of promise in this time, I think sad. I think a promise that's not kept. But Daniel doesn't feel that way. He doesn't feel the sadness in this moment of a prayer broken. Daniel isn't recalling on a God who is a breaker of his promises. No. Instead, Daniel is praiseful. He's glorifying his God. He's glorifying the God who in his character is not a promise breaker, but a promise keeper. There is no sadness in this. Daniel is confident and trusts in the character of a promise keeper. And I think there is sustainment in this way of thinking. There is sustainment in knowing who God says he is and trusting in the character that he presents. God in his word through scripture tells us that he is a God who keeps his promises. He is a God who keeps the promise of justness and fairness, and a God who keeps his promise of mercy and love. If he wasn't a God that kept one of those things, then he'd be a promise breaker. But he's a promise keeper because he is just, he is fair, and he is loving, and he is merciful. And so I ask us here, do we share in that reminding of ourselves? Do we share in that trust of God's very character? Do we trust in the knowledge that his character is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Do we believe in a God that is a promise keeper and not a promise breaker? And that's our second point, friends. That we must rely, we must trust, we must lean on a God whose character we can trust. Whose character is not one that is fading or is topsy-turvy, but one that is secure, one that is always the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we understand that Daniel's prayer digs deep into the character of God, to digs deep in glorifying and praising and trusting in the character of who God says he is, but that's not all that is to this beautiful prayer. Daniel's prayer is also a prayer of confession and repentance. A prayer of confession and repentance. I wonder how often we think about the prayer of confession and repentance. Have a look at a few verses here if you've got your Bible still open with me. We're going to start at verse 5. Daniel says, "We, the people of Israel, myself, we have sinned and done wrong." Daniel is confessing the sins of not just himself, but he intercedes, he prays on behalf of his fellow brothers in exile, his fellow brothers and sisters who have gone into exile in Babylon. He prays for the sins of them. He confesses them to God. We have sinned and done wrong. We have turned away. We have sinned against the Lord our God. Look again in verses 10 and 11. It continues, "We have not obeyed the Lord. All of Israel has transgressed your law and turned away. We have refused to obey you." See, Daniel, in amongst his acknowledgement of God's character in his prayer, he doesn't forget about the transgressions of himself and of Israel towards their God. He doesn't just think, if I go really good at praising you, I can forget to tell you about this stuff that happened on the weekend, that happened all in my life, that I've sinned against you. I can forget about that if I just glorify you. Daniel doesn't think about prayer that way. And the reason I think Daniel does this is Daniel recognizes that God's character is fair and God's character is just. And if he just glorifies the fact that God's character is true in mercy, God's character is true in promise-keeping, then he has to agree that God is just and God is going to be fair. And what is fair? Well, fair is that this exile is fair. This exile away from Jerusalem is fair because God is just, and the exile is to do with them not understanding that they have sinned against the Lord. Friends, Daniel knows that repentance and acknowledgement to God of their sin is also part of the relationship with God. If we think about our relationship with our friends, with the people we care about, that friendship revolves around apologizing and being honest with each other, right? Like, I'll take Yoki for an example. Me and Yoki work together, but there's honesty in a friendship here. Yoki can tell me honestly when she thinks about stuff, and I can tell her honestly what I think back. I can tell her when I think that I've done something wrong in this church and when I think I've done something incorrectly. That's a relationship between me and Yoki. If we can't confess and repent and be honest with our sin to our God, there's a dangerous relationship forming there that is one-sided. That is where we think that only God will do anything for us without us understanding that we have sinned against him. Our third point today, friends, is this: that going the distance involves recognizing and repenting of our sins to a God who has promised to deliver us in mercy if we call to his name, who has promised to bring us to the end of the race if we trust and repent of our sins and believe in him. We need to repent and confess to go the distance. We can't ignore our sinfulness and expect to go forwards. We can't sit in a space where we conceal our sin out of self-delusion and pride. Proverbs 28 says this, and if you want to flick to it, I'll give you a quick second while I catch my breath. It says this: whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Friends, we cannot expect to run a race without honesty to the Lord, without humbling ourselves to the actions of confession and repentance. And again, friends, I ask you, have you come before the Lord? Have you confessed your sinfulness and asked him for mercy? Have you asked him in mercy through repentance to go the distance with him, trusting in his faithfulness, trusting in the character of his promises? Friends, there is no better time than right here today. Jesus has declared in his gospel in Mark 1:15 that the time has come to repent and believe the good news. We are almost at the end of all distance, of all time. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming back. Have you gone to God and repent of your sins and said, I trust in him? That's where we can rely on. A repentance and confession and a call for mercy in the name of Jesus. If we do that, we will see a God who will bring us, his people, not just home from Babylon, but home from sin and death and into his love and eternal life with him. Friends, Daniel seeks to continue the race in God's mercy. That's why he repents. That's why he confesses. He seeks to run the race relying on God's foundational trust of mercy. He doesn't do this out of his own actions because Daniel trusts in God's character. And we see this in verse 18 when he says, we do not make requests of you because we ourselves are righteous, but because of your great mercy. There's nothing in Daniel's prayer and request that's saying, hey, God, because I've been really good, because I'm righteous, because I'm a good man, can you give me mercy? No, he says, we don't do this out of ourselves, out of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy, because of your character. He relies on the character, the mercy, and the love of God to get him through. So friends, as we seek to go the distance in our lives of faith, let us not seek mercy out of a false understanding of our own self-righteousness, but rather let's go from a place of confession of our sinfulness, a place of sincere repentance to follow God and not sin, a place where we come to Jesus and say, I'm sorry for my sin, but I need you to get me to the distance, to get me to run the race. That is where we will find the mercy of God, who will help us go the distance. So now, before I go any further, there's a whole another side to Daniel 9, right? And I'm sure we're all sitting here going, when's he going to get to Gabriel and 20 to 27, and I don't want to disappoint you, but that's a whole nother sermon we could go into. It's a whole nother sermon. It could go for another 55 minutes, and we can talk about that another time if you want, but I'm going to quickly go through a little bit of it, and I hope that's at least satisfies the hunger for a second. I'll say this. God does answer Daniel's prayer in this chapter. This isn't a prayer that's left unanswered. This isn't a guy or God who goes, yep, I hear you, and I'll help you go the distance a bit later. No, God answers him. He keeps him going. God does answer the prayer. He brings forth a response to Daniel's petitions for mercy revealed by the angel Gabriel in verse 23. He reveals to Daniel an amazing promise of God's timeline for the rest of history. We read about 77s, this big period of history, from this prayer forward to the coming of the Anointed One. A timeline for the end of sin. A timeline for the bringing forth of everlasting righteousness. Our God has planned out not just Daniel and the people of exile's return to Jerusalem, but he's planned so much more. He has planned out the whole distance. He has planned out the time from that prayer all the way to Jesus, the Anointed One's sacrifice and return. Friends, we have a God who has planned the timeline to its end. So how much confidence can we take in this period of now but not yet in relying on Him to help us go the distance from now to the day when Christ returns? Our God has made the timeline. He knows what is happening. We can rely on Him to help us go that distance, to get to the end of that timeline. Friends, Daniel 9 displays a beautiful prayer of confession of sin, sincere repentance, genuine intercession, prayer on behalf of others, and acknowledgement of trust in God's character throughout. It reveals a God who has planned out history, who has got the timeline sorted and is in control of all things. And we, as God's people here today in Blakehurst, seeking to live out our lives on a journey to love and live for Him, seeking to go the distance in faith, we know through our time today that we can rely on God in a lot of ways. In prayerful dependence, just like Daniel has, we can rely on ourselves. We can rely on the actions of a God whose character is true. We can rely on the actions of confession and repentance to bring mercy. It's a great time. It's a great truth that we can read through Scripture. We know from Daniel 9 and from the understanding of Daniel's prayer that in trusting and knowing God's character, that we can truly rely on Him to deliver us, to help us run the race of faith. So friends, at the start of our time together, I asked you a question. I asked you to reflect on what it was that you relied upon to go the distance in living out faith to the Lord your God. Well, now let me finish by asking you another question. It's not there. That's heartbreaking. Let me finish by asking you another question. Will you rely on God? It is there. You're right. Thanks, mate. Will you rely on God? Will you rely on His truth of character? On who He said He is in Scripture? Who Daniel believes He is? A keeper of His promises, a God who is loving, a God who is mercy. Will you rely on Him through prayer, through confession, through repentance, and trusting in Him to go the distance? Because friends, it is in these things that God has revealed to us how we may continue to rely on Him and go the distance. Not by our own strength, not by our own self-drive, not by stubbornness, as we learnt, but by Him. He has revealed that He has set His timeline, that there is an end to get to. We have almost gone the distance, just like Daniel has almost gone the distance in exile, but not yet there. So friends, do not stumble now. Do not think about relying on yourself now. You are so close to running the race with God. Rely on Him to sustain and keep you in His faith, to keep you close to Him, to keep you in relationship with Him. Let me close with an encouragement from the book of Hebrews about what it means to run. It says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus our Lord, the perfecter of our faith." Let us run not by ourselves. Let us run with our eyes focused on our Lord. All of this is for His glory. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, You are good. You are a God who is powerful. You are a God who has set the timeline. There is nothing that is to come that is a shock to You, Lord. You know all the plans You have for the whole journey, for the distance to come. Lord, we pray that as we sit here today, we think through what it means to rely on You to go the distance. What it means to not rely on a self-drive of stubbornness or any other character trait of our own, but through prayerful dependence, through trusting in Your character, through bringing forth in relationship to You our confession and our repentance, that we can rely on You to take us the journey, to help us go the distance, Lord. We pray that we don't just forget these ideas when we leave the church building, but You put that on our hearts, to live out our life going the distance for You, trusting in You, and that through that we might be a light to our people in Blakehurst, to a light to the people in our communities, to a light to the people around the world. That it's not through us that we go the distance, it's through You. Amen.